How many was here last week and saw the movie? Yeah, awesome. I'm going to refer to it a little bit today, so if you didn't see it, I'll try to catch you up on it. I want to reassure everybody here, if I take the pulpit on Sunday and turn over to the movie, it's because it has a great message to it. I don't entertain people on Sunday morning. Wednesday nights we might do entertainment, guys. So don't ever think, well, he's showing a movie today. This Sunday I'm not going to come. I realize we don't have popcorn on Sundays, you know. But really, when I see something that speaks to my heart like that, I just want to share it. So just be encouraged on that. But when I look back at the movie, a couple of things really jumps out at me that touches home. And I think the number one thing was a guy, observation from Africa, when he was talking about the pulpit. Because we're standing here this morning with the understanding that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit if you're born again. And God dwells inside of you. You know, and I think sometimes we take that as for granted, you know, or we don't quite grasp it, don't quite understand it. But when you give a reference to in the pulpit, I mean, right now, if I would start telling you a dirty joke, how many people would appreciate it? You know, who would want to sit here and listen to it? Probably not, would you? Okay. And he said, now, if you had two people come up front and they start taking their clothes off and stuff, who would sit there and want that to take place in your church, you know? And, of course, nobody would want that to take place in the church. But he's trying to show us what the Bible says, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So whatever your eyes is looking at, you're bringing into this temple. Whatever you're listening to, you're bringing into the temple. And what comes into you will come out of you. Whatever comes in your home today, when you go home and someone knocks on the door, whatever you invite into your house, you're gonna make sure you're going to vent it before it comes in, right? Just to make sure. Say she was a relative, right? Lay their hand out. Nah. Well, that's what God wants us to do, you know. And that's where, if we look at ourselves, maybe that's an area where we might be lacking right now, that we have got so desensitized over the years. And some of us have been born in a desensitized state to start with, because true holiness, true reverence to the Lord may have been watered down to a degree to where really it's only something you do on Sunday for an hour, not recognizing how much more God has plans for us. And not just for us, but to work through us. And the gentleman made a comment too that everyone here would say that everything we have as a Christian belongs to Jesus, right? I mean, everything we have, you know, we're just borrowing it. In fact, God owns everything. I always look at it that He just gives me stuff as I take care of His son. You know, my old saying is that God pays child support. You know, as I carry Jesus in my life, He provides for me as I take Christ with me. So everything that you have is to honor God with. And now, well, they showed there, do we spend money on stuff that doesn't honor God? And when he was talking about the movie, going paying money to see a movie and have them take God's name in vain or use vulgarity or watching stuff they shouldn't watch, that was God's money that you went in and paid it. Now you bring that into the temple. And sometimes we don't recognize that. We get the point sometimes, well, I know this is not a good movie, but boy, it's not bad as this one over here. Folks, if it's bad, it's bad. And we have to recognize that. Truly, who do we belong to? You know, do we belong to Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Have we surrendered to Him? Or do we have more of a fan club with Him? You know, again, the Lord is putting out the day. Each one of us will check ourselves. Amen? Because we're all going to stand before the Lord someday. But I think what God is trying to show us through the movie and in a couple of verses today, that He wants us not to be deceived, and He wants us to be aware of what the devil tries to do. And then how we can do this compromising, and it's really, really destructive to us. And one comment he made in the movie, and this was himself speaking, was, I wonder if I'm really, really converted. Am I really born again? You know, if I can sit there, I'm talking about myself, you talk about yourself. But if I can sit there and let someone take God's name in vain and pay money for it, or if I can take the thing that Jesus went to the cross for and tolerate it in my life, am I really born again, or do I just want a false sense of security? Do I just want fire insurance? You know? Conversion, I mean, it's total. It's total selling out to Him and saying no to the world, you know? One of the scenarios God gave me last night was like running, you know? I'm going to pick on you, you just came in here, okay? Our young friend up here, praise God, got a job now, got an apartment. He's paying money for an apartment. I won't tell you where it's at, but it's in Roscoe. You have some expectations on that apartment now. Now, I don't know what he's paying a month. I'm not going to ask him. But let's say, I think Sister Vicky wants your apartment back there. She wants back in Roscoe. She's born and raised back there. She's envious of you right now. Watch out. No. But myself, if I went to Coshocton, and I'm going to go to Roscoe. Roscoe is a beautiful place. And let's say I was going to pay $1,500 a month rent for an apartment, which is kind of cheap, probably, you know, in Roscoe, you know. I mean, as long as I have Bob Clark's wallet, I have no problem with that, you know. No problem, brother. I didn't hear an amen from you on that one. Okay. But you see, to me, $1,500 is a lot of money. I mean, wow. Now, if I went to rent an apartment and I paid $1,500 for it, do you think that I have some expectations of the condition of it? Yeah, I would have some expectations. And in fact, I would go in and look around and check it all out, you know. I might even check on who my neighbors might be. But when I give that landlord $1,500, we have an agreement. Okay, $1,500, you're renting a place. I go in there. I expect that place to be top-notch. If I have an issue, I can contact the landlord and he'll take care of it. Amen? I got a 5-room apartment in Roscoe now, $1,500 a month. Nothing wrong with expecting that to be nice, huh? It's mine now, right? Did I ask to move in? I did, Darryl. Yeah, I did. But as I go through the living room, it's awesome, the kitchen and stuff. I go back, and there's a room in the back of the apartment there. I open it up. There's old paint cans. And there's a ladder in there. And there's all kind of moldy stuff. And shoo, man. Wait, now, I rented a 5-room apartment, $1,500 a month. I've only got 4 rooms. This one here's got his junk in it. What would you do? Call the landlord. What would you say to the landlord? Get this junk out of here, right? Yeah, isn't that... Yeah. Get this stuff out, man. Did you know this is still in here? It could be, oh, wow, I didn't know it was there. Thank you for bringing it my attention. He would come in and take that stuff out of that junk room and let me paint the room for you again. Okay? It could be a mistake on his part and you brought it to his attention and man, what an awesome relationship you're going to have and you're going to rent that place forever. Or it could be, hey, man, I'm renting your apartment. I give you $1,500 a month, $1,500 deposit, 5 rooms, but that 1 room is full of junk. Man, can you come get it? No, I don't think so. Well, why not? Well, I think you can work around it. Wait a second, man. I paid $1,500 for this apartment. I want it all. Well, I'm sorry. You just can't have it. Listen. If I can't have it all, if I can't have what I paid for, I'm going to move out. How many people have that attitude, probably? Well, I get one person that would have that attitude. Two, I have that attitude. If I paid for it, you know. Again, I tried everything. I contacted them, let them know it was there. Hey, I rented this. I'm paying this. I've got the money for it. Give him the opportunity to clear it out. Now, some of you wouldn't set a word and just threw it out in the alley on trash day. I understand that, but that's not part of the scenario there. But see, we would definitely want what we paid for. I believe that's just it. But if we can take that same attitude, and most of you know where I'm going to already. If we have that same attitude of our life and ourselves as being the temple of the Holy Spirit, several ways to look at it. One way I was thinking, listen, you had a vacancy sign on your life at one time, and you heard a knock of Jesus knocking on the door. He said, "Man, let me come in. Let me come in. Let me rent your temple. Let me rent your body. I need a place to live here on earth." Well, all right, come on in. Some of us invited them because, wait a second. I've heard it. Be a lot more peaceful. I have a lot more joy. I don't have to worry about nothing. I'll invite Jesus in. I'll rent my body to him. So he comes in. He starts pointing things out in your temple that shouldn't be there. And you say, "Well, listen, man, I invited you to my life, but you can't have my entire life. I know you need a place to dwell on earth. The Holy Spirit needs us to dwell in us to do God's work. Amen." But he said, "Listen, I want this over here. No. But then Jesus looks at you and says, "Listen, man, I paid a lot more than $1,500 a month to dwell in your temple. He paid the ultimate price for us." And like yourself in the apartment in Roscoe, you're excited, and you go around and you start looking in the rooms, and he found this junk room in your life. He found this junk room with the door closed. He said, "Hey, man, listen. I paid the price for the whole temple, for the whole rooms." Now, maybe you didn't recognize you still had this junk in your life. It's going to cause you problems. Especially that one room's got a hole in it, and it got water coming in. You got a thing called mold. And mold starts, you can't keep it in one room. It's going to come out. Okay? Might not pay much attention to it at first. I'll get it next week, next month. But more, boom. So the Lord said, "Listen, you got this junk room. You got stuff festering in there. You got stuff that I don't want in there because I moved in. Now, let me help you. We'll carry this stuff out." What do we tell him? I mean, don't answer. I just think. "Listen, man, I gave you everything else. I gave you Wednesday nights. I'm here on Fridays. I'm here on Sundays. Leave that rest of stuff alone." But see, if we are truly converted to the Master, we're truly following him, we will rejoice when he shows us that junk room in our temples. And man, this stuff is deteriorating. Get rid of it. It's poison, brother. That's what you're saying. Now, I think the difference could be is yes. "Oh, hi, I'm Jesus. I thought maybe I could come into your life and make it better for you. I know you're down and out. You got some issues and stuff. Just let me in your life and live with you, and I'll make your life better for you." "Oh, all right, come on in." And that's one way of Jesus coming in. But the true thing is this. If we truly look at ourselves, look at the mess that we are without God, look at ourselves the way that we are without Jesus, it isn't this knock on the door. It's us opening the door up and saying, "Jesus, get in here! Come in! Come it! Take all I have! I'm tired of all my junk! Take it! I'm tired of my mouth, my thought life, the way I live my life! Come in! Jesus, okay, I'll come. I paid a great price to do this. Come on in. I surrender it all to you. Come on, Jesus. Let's walk through my life. What's in there? What's detrimental to you? I want it all. I want you, Jesus, to my Lord and my Savior. That's the difference. I truly believe between a conversion and being a fan. A fan is with you. Like most of us know this year, as a Browns fan, we are on top side right now. I think they're like 4-1, 5-1. A fan will leave you pretty quick. But I'm telling you what, a follower won't. I know in Coshocton at one time, I'm not in too much of it anymore, I saw a lot on midnight shift, you had landlords that were called slumlords. Don't mention any names. But they did nothing to their buildings. They'd rent it to anybody for rent it. It'd be junk, it'd be terrible. And you pass and you think, how could anybody allow somebody to live in there? I mean, they were taking advantage of people. You know, you've got to go somewhere and stuff like that. But you tell, you look at the structure, you're like, man, what kind of landlord is that? And with Christ, as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we truly need to look at ourselves at times. And man, am I keeping the roof patched? Am I keeping the hose plugged? I'm making sure you see all the windows of your eyeballs, you know what I'm saying? Am I truly allowing Christ to occupy my life 100%? You know, back to the movie, and most of us cried at the end of it. But what got me was when that young man was trying to find a way to put the gospel on the radio for 60 seconds. For a cost of like $3,100. God gave him a desire. He gave him the plan. He ended up taking his own money with agreement with his wife and invested that. Wow. And along the road, that lady at the radio station, not Patty Duke, but the other one, I mean, she saw his demeanor. She saw his determination. And even when she charged him, so it'll cost you $1,500, he still maintained. All that. What a great testimony it was to the reception, I think it was. I, like many of you here, I thought Patty Duke was going to get saved. I thought that last phone call was Patty calling from her sick bed, saying, hey, I'm sick today, you know. And no. And that'd be... That's what we would think. But look at what it showed, which one got converted, you know? You know? I suppose you can go either way on the ending of that. But with him being determined, willing to put everything he has on the line for the gospel, it showed his commitment. And that spoke so much to her, you know? I mean, it could have been, hey, listen, I'll give you $350 for a minute. You know, wow, ain't nothing. I want $1,500. Are you crazy, woman? My land sakes, I tell you, you're always trying to take advantage of Christians, aren't you? You're always trying to take advantage of someday God's going to... How many of that would have been us? Don't raise your hand. But what he knew, that he knew he was doing what God called him to do. If God calls us to do something, He will find a way to do it His way, not our way. I mean, the next scenario could have been Him going down to local 7-Eleven and robbing it for $3,075. God put it on his heart to do this, you know. God will never cause you to sin to do the work he's called us to do. Amen? Amen. But just what we would demand from someone that we were in contract with, running with, we should demand ourselves to be the same for God. I know at times I tell you, listen, if you have to say, oh, I can't do that because I'm a Christian, well, you got to maybe check your heart because I don't want to. But folks, if you have to start out saying, hey, I can't do that, I'm a Christian, say that, amen? Let's break that habit of doing it, okay? Because, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, okay? So if you have to say, oh, man, I want to go out there tonight, Bruce, oh, I can't, I'm a Christian now. Okay, maybe I'm still shoving some stuff out of my room, you know what I'm saying? But at least I'm starting to break that habit. And pretty soon it's all, Bruce, I don't go there anymore, man. I love Jesus. I'm following Christ now. Amen? So it says, drawing that line. That's one thing he said, drawing the line. You know? Totally sell out for Christ. And what he had ended up saying to do was shut off all your media, all your outposts for a week. Don't watch anything. And then he said the following week, shut out all prayer. Don't read your Bible. Don't do nothing. Then the end of 2 weeks, see which one that you missed the most. You know. I don't suggest cut out prayer for a week, don't cut out, but no. But I would challenge you, maybe, on yourself, cut out the media for 7 days. One thing he made, now, I know this is a movie, but it's based upon Bible principle, is that when he got rid of the junk out there, his mind was more clear. Because he was reading the Word of God, he was praying, and his mind, he started getting answers to things that he needed to do. He never was so clear before. And I know we don't recognize the junk that we bring into our life, how junky it is, until we take it away. Until we stop and look at it. You know, just what God wants us to do is whatever you're bringing into your life, would you want it up here on a Sunday? Because if Christ, you're a priest. You're a king. To recognize that. You are no different than I am. You're the same accountable as I am. I understand. I'm just up here in front of you. You know? But man, what God has in store for all of us who truly love Him and want Him, man, it's unimaginable what He wants. But just checking the junk there. Because I know people ask me, what do I think about once saved, always saved? And well, I'm telling you, once I give my life to Christ, I follow Him. There's nothing else I ever have to do. I am saved. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. Amen? Nothing I have to do again. But once saved, always saved, is only if you continue with them. That's truly my heart. I truly believe that. There's a false doctrine out there. It's a free, yeah. Yeah, salvation is, and we shared this, I think, last week, maybe, or week before, if we know, I gave him a free gift of a horse. It was free, didn't cost him a dime. Went back three weeks later, it was laying there, couldn't breathe, because he didn't feed it. You know, he didn't water it. And same with us. I mean, free gift here. I got salvation. Receive it. And then we work out our salvation daily. You know, it's not just a prayer, a 30-second prayer when we turn. It's, no, truly, we recognize the need we have for Jesus. We recognize our life and how terrible it is. And we're born in sin. We have a sin nature. And that sin's going to take us to hell someday. And really, man, whew, all the stuff I've done all my life, I thought I was doing right, and here it was wrong. And let's say we go running to Jesus, run real life to Him, invite Him in. I mean, I think it really makes a difference in our temple when we realize that we want Him just as much as He wants us. And surrender it to Him. First Corinthians 3:16 is one of the scriptures that substantiate what he was saying in the movie I've been sharing with you. But 1 Corinthians 3:16 talks about our temple and says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" You are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. The same Spirit as a born-again believer, the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave, dwells in you. God lives in you. God, the creator of all things. The Spirit of God who went to the cross to die for all the ugly stuff we've done. Wow. And when we received Him as our Savior and Lord, He comes to dwell in us. It's okay. If I can put it, okay, dude, come on. Let's go over here, let's go over there. I want you to continue to share the gospel. You're going to be my witnesses. My light's going to shine through you. Yes, Jesus, let's do that. Because I am so thankful for my salvation. I'm so thankful what you did for me. I'm so thankful that you opened my eyeballs up and you took me from darkness to light. That I want other people to know this thing, Jesus. I want them to know about your love and forgiveness. Come on, where can we go today, Jesus? That is a spirit check right there. If that is your heart, the others to know, then Christ dwells within you. Amen? Because God's His Spirit, okay? Now, let me just put a little thing here. If you're scared to death to do that, but you have a desire to do that, He's in there. Just turn Him loose. Amen? Just turn Him loose. Because we all can be bashful, but don't be bashful anymore. The Lord, I open my mouth up, I'm going to share the gospel, and He'll lead you in that, okay? But truly, that's part of, I believe, the conversion test. That once you're born again, once you realize, man, what Christ has done for you, and He becomes your Lord and your Savior, man, you want to share with other people, even though they're going to reject you, some of us. Even though they might want to listen to it, you know. But taking a stand for what is good. I remember a while back talking about the temple. I was eating dinner at Burger King or someplace one time, a year or so ago, with a fellow from our church and his granddaughter. And was sitting there, and I've been one of the rare times I actually bought, I'm not sure. But beside me is a gentleman, or a fellow that I worked with at one of the factories years ago. I like the guy, but he starts talking to me, and his granddaughter's here, and my buddy's here, I'm here, and he's over here. But he used that F-bomb on about every sentence he had. Oh, wow. And so, a couple of times, I'm waiting for my friend to say something because of his granddaughter. He's just saying something. But he never did that. Finally, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I get up and I walk over and I said, "Hey, buddy," I says, "if you don't mind, I mean, our friend's got a granddaughter. If you could watch that, using that word." "Oh, yeah, I'm sorry." I sat back down, went on. Now, if I would have walked over to him and say, "Listen, could you watch that language? I mean, I get this lady or a young girl over here and stuff like that." And if he would have cussed me out and told me where to go, you know what I would have done? I got up, took my friend somewhere else. Amen? Amen. And that's because of Jesus. You know, but see, I just ask. Okay, I'll move somewhere else. That's no problem. You know, but I want to protect what's coming here, but also what's coming into her ears. You know, being the temple of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes you would think that we have to, that we're giving up something. You know, well, I've got a right to do that. But you're not giving that up. You're letting Christ shine through you. Okay, and no doubt, what's that, Tim? Right, you have respect to him. And then later on, people look back and think, oh man, I act like that in front of them. And next thing you know, they'll come around, and sometimes they'll come around and you get to witness more to them. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, 19 and 20, there's another verse here to substantiate yourself as a landlord who gave God an eternal lease on your body. It says, 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Ooh, think of that. Once you rent this body out, once you gave it to the Lord, it no longer belongs to you. Do you realize that? So the next time you want to go on a diet, tell the Lord, hey, Lord, you have to go on a diet. Your temple's getting, no. But think of that. No longer belongs to me, Bob. Wow. I mean, again, let's go back to Roscoe, the $1,500 apartment. You're sitting there on a Saturday morning. You're sitting there watching your cartoons, eating your Oreos, drinking your milk, you know, just kind of relaxing. And the door opens up, and here comes the landlord in. Okay, what are you doing here? My place? No, 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 I rented it from you. No, this is my place. No, no, no. Who has control of that? Yes, whoever leased it. Amen? Well, God expects the same from us. Amen? He leased it all. And as there something's coming into our life, Christ will say, hey, listen, wait, guys. Well, Starkey, hey, listen, I rent the whole thing here. I don't want that in here. Now, I can sit there and say, well, but. But there's no buts with God, right? When he says, no, don't let it in, don't bring it in, he's telling you for a reason. We recognize that. And he'll tell us that. The Spirit of the Lord is in us. He'll say, no. Now, we still have the right to bring it into our life because we still have a free will. But that would be detrimental with the Lord. And then we would wonder, why I'm not powerful? Why do I keep falling into temptation? Why is my light shining more? Well, because we'll allow the things into our life that Jesus Christ died for, to remove them from our lives. And verse 20 says, "For ye have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." And that's every aspect of our body. We should glorify the Lord with it. You know, not let our bodies be a slave to anything other than Jesus. Amen? Mm-hmm. Mm. 2 Corinthians 6:15. Again, the word of the Lord here showing to us his temple, trying to encourage us to do a house cleaning, to allow him to clean us out, draw that line, commit ourselves to him, and let God do what he wants to do with us. When 6:15 and 6:16 and 17, it says, "Or what harmony has Christ with Baal? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. 17 really speaks there. Come out from amongst them and be separate. Also, the terminology is be in the world, but not of the world. Be separate from the world, he says. Because back to our terminology before, it would be a peculiar person. Because you don't want the things in the world. Our heart gets to the point that we are sickened when we see the sin in the world. And our heart breaks when we see friends living in that sin, not knowing Jesus. In the days that we live in, as followers of Christ, it's an awesome time, but your heart is breaking more all the time from what you're seeing, but your spirit is raising up for what you're doing. God is showing you the needs of those around you and showing you how to pray for them. So your heart will be heavy, but your spirit will be rejoicing because you're going to intercede for them, and they might not even know you're doing it. But the difference that we can make. We don't participate with the world. The world's gone, amen? And recognize how the world gets into our lives. Magazines. TV. Mail, I'm telling you, all kind of things. It has a way of trying to get into your life, you know. And I know a few folks that get these things all the time in the mail. I don't know how they do, but loan companies will send you a real check, like $3,000. All you got to do is sign the back of it, take it to your bank, boom. Oh my lands. You talk trying to captivate people and trying to put them in bondage, you know. Because, I mean, if you have just the smallest need, man, I wish I had this. And next thing you have your mailbox and you find this letter from Clark International Loan Service. And there's a check there for $3,000. All you got to do is sign the back of it. Thank you, Lord. Boy, you know I needed this. You know what I'm saying? Turn it over. See if Bob's charging you 45% interest. You know what I'm saying? but really, so what happens then? There comes that bondage of debt. And then what happens? It starts taking your joy away. And then you get mad at yourself because you should have never done it, right? Amen. Seek the Lord and all that you... God, is this from you? It could be that the first 30 days, Bob doesn't charge you any interest. Okay? I know, probably not, Bob. But, if you needed a loan for 10 days and you're going to pay it back because you got money coming, it could be wise to use his money. Okay? Follow me in this. But it takes discipline. Because when that money comes in 10 days to pay him back, you think, wait, I just pay Bob so much a month. See what I'm saying? But again, that's just the way we can get the world into it, that slavery. And we have to watch out for that. We have to be very cautious. And folks, pray and seek the Lord. You know, so I'll give wisdom to anybody who asks me and believes I'll give it to him. You know, God, is this something I need to do or not? Galatians 2:20. There's a couple more this morning, folks. And Brother Paul wrote this here. And that's where we all need to be at. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Wow. And we'll have to look at ourselves again. This is the mirror check. This last couple, 3 weeks, God's been giving us a mirror to check in. But can we say to ourselves today, can we speak out and say, hey, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Have we been crucified with Christ? Have we died to the things of the world? Are our eyes fixed upon him? Or we're still breathing? Is the old man still alive? Or I can say the old woman. That way I'll be politically correct. We have to check if that desire of the world is still within us, still coming towards us. We need to recognize that, confess it to the Lord, and allow him to help you remove it. Because his word is, resist the devil. Amen? Understand that. Resist the devil, he says. So if you've been walking with the Lord for, I don't care, 10 years, and man, you still got this temptation comes around you, and you're fighting it, he says to do that, resist it. Resist him, because the devil will flee. Now, he might come back around with a different temptation, but resist him with the word of God. Again, it's that line drawn, so I'm done. Every time we start looking at sin and start entertaining the idea in our mind, it's kind of like giving it a go-ahead. And you might get real close to it and turn your back on it. Well, it's going to come back around because he almost had you that time. We have to get into our spirit. And we do that through the scriptures. I'm done with it. No thank you. I'm through. That is the same way that you would talk with somebody that wants to borrow money from you. If you don't want to lend them, okay? Of course, lend it to me or Bob. Or, I'm not saying just money, anything. When somebody comes around to you and tries to talk into doing something you don't want to do, if we're wishy-washy and say, well, I don't know. And we should just say, well, I'm not sure. Well, then they might leave you this time. But they'll come back around because they almost had you the last time. But when we take a stand and say, listen, no thank you. I'm done with that stuff. I'm not involved with that stuff. You know, man, you're my friend, but don't invite me to this stuff. I am done. Okay? Boom. Detrimental to me. I don't want it anymore. Boom. Now they know. Now, if they come back around to you and try talking to you again, they're not your friend to start with because they're not honoring your request saying, leave me alone. I don't want that stuff. I don't walk that way anymore. I don't do that kind of stuff. Then you should surely find out who your friend is. But to no uncertain terms, hey man, do if you want to, Steve. Yeah, it's up to you. You'll stand before God someday. But I'm done with that. And man, I'm not doing it anymore. So don't bring it around me. Don't tempt me with it, okay? That way Steve knows, or vice versa. Steve would tell me, and I would know. And chances are I would never bother you again, whether you wouldn't bother me again. I'd go somewhere else, you know. And that's with the devil. Resist him, he will flee. You know where he'll go? Somebody else. Somebody else. He'll go to someone else. He'll try to find some place to latch on to somebody and suck their life out of them. Because Satan comes in, steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm telling you, his time is short. So you keep resisting him, he's going to leave you and go somewhere else. Now, I'm sorry for the poor fellow that he's going to go to. But you know what? I stand on the gospel myself. Now, if I see somebody else in the same predicament I was in, I will go with them and share with them the gospel of Jesus and how he rescued me, knowing they might say, oh, you're one of them, are you? You know? Somebody said the worst thing you ever be around is an ex-smoker. You know that? but I'm telling you what, I'm an ex-smoker, but I'm never obnoxious about it. Because I know what it means to be addicted to tobacco and spending your money and your health is going down. You know what I'm saying? So I've never, ever tried to be obnoxious about someone else smoking because I've been there, you know. But we have to draw that line and say, okay, listen. Bruce, I've been there, buddy. And this is what God spoke to me about, you know. Praying that he'll receive that. But if he doesn't, at least I share that with them. And later on, when he's ready, when he gets convicted, he'll come to me and say, okay, Starkey, help me out here. You know? And I've been in the church many times in my life before I got saved, and I hear the gospel, and I hear them. They'd be preaching about my own personal sin, but not my name. I get so upset. Yeah, you don't know my circumstances. Anybody else been there before? But the day came that I recognized it. And the day came, I thought, man, how courageous those people were to share the gospel to me, even though I rejected it. And then to go back and, man, listen, thank you. Thank you for loving Jesus enough to love me enough to share me that truth. But it's being crucified with Christ. And it takes me back to that movie where the young man was trying to get into the movie theater or getting to the radio station. And he kept the old man buried, and that Christ shined through, and a testimony it was. Maybe you're going through something right now, and it's about ready to tear you apart inside. Oh, God, why? Why? What's this purpose? You know? It could be the same way the guy at the radio station. God, why? Why $1,500? I mean, that's not him talking to you. He's talking to God. Why that? But God, I trust you. I know. I'm your follower. Nothing can come upon me without your hand being involved in it. I know you're going to use this for good. So whatever it is, we can look at it and know that God will work through it. Not saying that you like what you're going through. Affliction is never nice to go through. But you go through it for His glory. And wherever He has us at, not just for yourself to see the mighty hand of God work in your life, but to move the lives of those around us whose hearts are so hardened, you say, well, they would never ever come to Jesus. But they will, because of Christ living in us. Amen. And my last one, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Verse 17, 18, and 19. And so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. In verse 17, 18, and 19, Ephesians 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in yourself, no, in love, correct? Grounded in love. And what a good fact checker that is that what you're about ready to do, is it out of love, out of spite? You know what I'm saying? Man, you might have to say some harsh things at times, but it comes out of love. Or sometimes you might be tempted to say some nice things, but it's not out of love. Meaning that you're just trying to sidestep what God's put on your heart to share with somebody. And so you just try to sugarcoat it, you know. Some people say the gospel, sometimes people take it and sugarcoat it. The gospel is just the way it is. But the sugar on the gospel is the love of Christ. Everything spoken here is through love. They want nobody to perish. And the last verse on 19 says, and that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Is that where you want to be at? Doesn't each one want to have the fullness of God in her life? And what he's been trying just to share with us today, areas in our lives where we may have not allowed him that fullness. We might have some junk room still hanging around. Or we've got a hole somewhere. We've got a window open, a back door crept open, that things are getting into our life that shouldn't be getting in there. And we truly would just say, Lord, I want all of you. I want you to have all of me. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. And show me any unpleasant thing. And then clean me up. Amen. You are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So maybe this week will be the time of hanging out more with the Lord. Just loving Him. Have Him check your temple. He checks that through His Word, you know. Show me, Lord, truly. And you'll get more and more sensitive to things. I mean, He's not done with me yet. I mean, just less and less, and then whatever you bring into your temple will be coming out. So maybe a reduction in some of the entertainment that we have and more of the Word of God. You ever figure out how much time you spend in entertainment every week? I don't know if you have or not, but just everybody check yourself, you know what I'm saying? Because entertainment, there's always something behind the entertainment too. If it's not godly, turn it off. But it's so funny. I understand it's so funny, but turn it off. And folks, my last thing is, if you can support Christian comedians, Christian entertainers, Christian movies, you know, watch where you're, like, watch, just see where you put your money at. They will glorify the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for all the scripture that you share with us today, Lord. God, that we truly look at ourselves, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, come and dwell. We surrender more and more to you, everything to you. Show us. Show us the area that we are still hoarding for ourselves. If I may say that we want to be good landlords, Father, we want to make sure that you occupy every part of it. So may we be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit by your leading. May the things around us in this world be more sensitive to the things that's not of you. And then remove those from our lives, Father God, that we may have your fullness. That we can be all that you have called us to be. And on that day, Father God, that we'll hear you say, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. That we may bring you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good.